Hi, I'm John Jenkins, managing editor of the corporatecounsel.net and deallawyers.com. And together with my co-host, JT Ho, co-head of ORIC's public company advisory practice, I'd like to welcome you to the latest edition of our Understanding Activism podcast. Today, JT and I are joined by David Farkas. David is head of Georgeson Shareholder Intelligence. Before joining Georgeson, David was managing director in the Activism and M&A Solutions Group at FTI Consulting. David recently authored an article for the latest edition of our Deal Lawyers News newsletter titled "Watch Your Derivatives: The Role 13Fs Play in Detecting Shareholder Activism," and that article will sort of serve as a starting point for today's discussion. David, welcome to the podcast.
JT, thank you very much for having me here.
Right, JT. With that, I will turn it over to you to get started with our questions.
Yeah, David. So to start, just to provide some basic knowledge for folks who may be a little bit less familiar with Schedule 13Fs, can you just tell folks what they are, who files them, what they actually disclose?
Sure, absolutely. So a Schedule 13F is a public filing requirement for institutional investors that manage more than 100 million equity assets under management. The filing was required on a quarterly basis for March, June, September, and December. The 13F filings reveal share positions of institutional investors and help companies and their boards understand whether a specific investor is beginning to build a larger position inside their firm, or if a current investor is selling that position. These filings could be very helpful for the companies and boards to understand whether there's a threat of a proxy fight, and crucially, what steps that need to be taken in order to defend them.
Yeah, so sometimes folks say that these aren't necessarily the most reliable indicators of who's building or disposing of a company's position, or position rather, in a company's stock. Can you explain why that's sometimes said?
Yeah, there's a time lapse between the point an investor acquires or divests its shares in a company, and the required deadline for the filing is 45 days after the end of a quarter. So as a result, the company might only be alerted months after the actions are taken by the investor. For example, if an investor acquires 4.9% equity position in an issuer during the first half of January, it only needs to file that 13F with the SEC by May 15th. The time frame poses a lot of challenges and risks for public companies looking to understand their shareholder composition in order to preempt any type of potential shareholder activism or shareholder opposition, but also for the matter of understanding who the shareholders are. Not all companies will experience shareholder activism, so understanding the ebbs and the flows of the stock becomes a little bit more problematic when you don't have that real-time information.
Yeah. So, in addition to it not being a sort of real-time filing and the sort of the 45-day delay that's built in there for activists to accumulate positions, what other strategies do they use to avoid tipping their hands through a 13F filing?
So there are many activists that will build a position on straight equity, just a straightforward buy or sell position that's public. However, an activist can discreetly increase their position in a company for an extended period without the company's public knowledge. Many seasoned activists use derivatives to grow their position. Those could be over-the-counter options, swaps, forward contracts, which don't require immediate disclosure under the 13F filings. As such, shareholder activists can employ a tactic like this to build investment positions behind the scenes at these companies. The derivatives allow the activists to avoid direct identification through 13F. Activists, hedge funds, and investors often work with broker-dealers who hold derivative investments on behalf of their clients and who are required to file 13F. So typically, an investment bank will serve as the counterparty in the agreement. And many times in the 13F filing, you will see the counterparty file for those shares. The strategy allows the investor to gain the economic exposure to the desired investment without directly holding the underlying security.
So that makes them pretty stealthy. And
Yeah.
you really don't have to who those intermediaries are and who works with who to try and figure that situation out.
Yeah. So David, how can a company most effectively use 13F filings to identify whether an activist is building position in its stock? And is there any other information in these filings that could help a company with respect to their shareholder engagement strategies?
So the public 13F filings can help predict some potential activism, even when the true identity of the activist is obscured by the counterparty. So, for example, there are certain banks that service counterparties in the derivative markets more than others. Nomura, for instance, occasionally serves as a counterparty. And we know this because of public filings. You'll see in Schedule 13Ds, which a shareholder activist will file because there's an intent to provide change at a company, they will mention in there that if their entire position is equity or if there is some type of derivative exposure. Usually in the notes, it'll mention what that derivative exposure is and who the counterparty is. A lot of times you will see that with the 13F filing that is filed, you will see that there is a position being held by that broker dealer. So many times, if you're seeing a broker dealer position as a top 10 position, you have to wonder what might be behind that. It could be their proprietary desk building a position, or most likely it's going to be an underlying position for a derivative agreement with an activist, or no, with an activist or a hedge fund, because it's not always an activist that's building a position with derivatives. A lot of times it's the hedge fund community.
Can you share any case studies or examples where 13F filings played a key role in a company's defense against shareholder activism?
Yeah. So while I can't speak about specific companies, we can speak a little bit more generally on this topic. During the 2022 annual meeting season, public information, Nomura helped an activist gain exposure to a well-known retail company by acting as the counterparty. Nomura began to slowly acquire shares in the target company. In the third quarter, Nomura had a position of about 3 million shares. In the fourth quarter, added another 16 million shares. So you're looking at about 19 million shares of exposure. When the first quarter came, Nomura's exposure to the retailer notably decreased by nearly the exact amount of shares the activist position increased, showing that 13F filings, therefore, can reveal the mechanisms of these transactions. However, the problem sometimes, it's typically in hindsight. So despite the required filings in the SEC, the public data really didn't reveal the full magnitude of the activist position until the 13D was filed in mid-November, nearly 1.5 month gap at which the derivative was converted into the name of the activist. The real-time speed at which an investor could convert this derivative means that companies need to have more real-time information and an active stock surveillance strategy from which they can gain critical information about potential shareholder activism ahead of 13F filings, and in doing so, effectively gather the information, get advice from the advisor groups, and help protect themselves against such threats.
So, David, it sounds like there's things that the company should be doing in addition to actually relying on Schedule 13F filings to determine whether an opposition is being built.
Yeah, I mean, what I would say is, I mentioned before the stock surveillance providers, their stock surveillance offerings, where at its core, what it does is take a look at which investors are buying and selling the equity of the issuers real time. So, for instance, a good stock surveillance offering can take a look at the buying and the selling based on the broker relationships and give the issuer a better idea of who is buying and selling the stock. They can break it off into long-term investors. They can tell you which hedge funds are most active. But I'd say more importantly, especially notable for this conversation, is that, again, there are certain banks that are more often a counterparty to a derivative transaction. And we're able to see that information in advance to prepare the company and understand. As Georgeson, as a proxy solicitor, you know, we have a seat at the table just as the bankers do, the lawyers do, the PR firms do, and we're able to help consult and help the company understand the direction of a suspicious activity, a certain investor that might be building a large position, and be able to kind of stem it and let them know in advance that something is going on behind the scenes before it becomes in the public realm and the rest of the world knows about it.
Yeah, I just want to build on that a little bit. You know, we just kind of jumped into the concept of stock surveillance. I know for some folks, it means different things. If you can kind of just flesh that out a little bit, and just given everything we've talked about, then would you recommend that most companies subscribe to stock surveillance, or do do you think only certain companies with should do this?
So I think all companies should sign up for stock surveillance. The information could be used in different ways. Having the surveillance program in effect, you're helping executives, you're helping the board and other constituents of the company understand who is buying and selling the stock real time. And again, a lot of companies won't experience the shareholder activism. So in the meantime, they should be using that information to advise executives on which investors are moving the stock higher and lower. Also, when executives are going out on the road to meet with investors, it also helps them understand the context of the conversations that they might be having. Because an investor that's sitting on a 50% profit versus an investor that might be sitting on a 25% deficit is a completely different conversation. And using the 13F filings is very, again, as we mentioned before, is very dated. So being able to use that actionable information becomes very helpful in planning executive time. Also, the information is used as activism preparedness. So at the very least, the offering will let you know if there's something suspicious in the stock, if there's heavy volume, if the stock is under pressure, if the stock is going higher under no news. Stock surveillance can give the issuers a better idea of the mechanics of the trading and the equity flows behind it. And understanding that, again, I kind of look at it as activism preparedness light. You're able to have this offering where you understand real-time buyers and sellers, and you get to cover yourself just in case there's some suspicious activity and that you're not caught on your heels. We see a lot of times that companies don't have this type of offering, and then they get a letter from an investor, and then they suddenly want to sign up for it. There still is a lot of value in having that service at that point, because once it becomes public that said investor or said activist is potentially causing issues at the company, you can say, okay, well, who are the companies that might be following that activist? There could be an activist wolf pack that might be following them. And that's where the surveillance comes into play, is that, in stemming that, understanding who the investors are, helping with off-season engagement before something like that might happen, and talking with all stakeholders could be very valuable in preventing any kind of issues and having the activist group come together and really help out.
And just I would just add, I'm sure JT, you've had more experience with this than I have, but I have in situations where companies have been concerned about activism and have retained folks like David to provide the services. And it's really remarkable the kind of insights you can get and the tea leaves that they can read. David's mentioned some people, oh, these folks tend to clear through this particular organization. And that's another way of it. Just it's amazing the strands that they can pull together to provide actionable intelligence for companies. JT, any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I just generally think that, whatever you can do to prepare yourself in advance, you should do, if it's a reasonable cost to companies and so forth. So I agree a lot of what David has said. I think it can be used for things other than activism, like he alluded to, particularly understanding how your investors are thinking and other sorts of trends. And, anytime you can kind of get ahead of things and start building plans in advance, you're always going to be much more better off than being reactive at the last minute.
One last question for you, David. There is a petition, as you know, at the SEC to decrease the filing time for 13Fs from 45 days to 5 days. And it also proposes that if the SEC grants confidential treatment to a 13F filer, the relevant company should be privately informed. Do you have any thoughts on this proposal and its implications for companies and activists?
Yeah, so the scenario put forth in this petition could be obviously helpful for the companies under specific circumstances, such as the companies identifying activist situations more quickly. However, the shortened filing time to 5 days could also create some reporting risks for the investors. Activists will likely change their tactics if the reporting cycle changes, although strategies are unlikely to change too much. And because with the use of derivatives, it's going to continue. I mean, derivatives are going to continue. I think that the timing is just going to be changed. I mean, if you're using a 5-day 13F versus a 45-day 13F, you know, the funds may also change how they acquire larger positions at a company. The 13F filing requirement uncovers an investor's interest in a specific company quickly, potentially driving up the stock price and lessening the potential profit for the activist. So they'd have to get a little bit more strategic in how they build those positions a little bit faster.
Yeah, I just want to touch on something you just said and you mentioned elsewhere about building up a large derivative position. Is there any, I mean, you've been doing this for a long time. Is there any real, I'd say, like accurate way to understand like what kind of a derivative position is being built out there, you know, short of, you know, actually getting the 13D or in the, you know, having a nomination and figuring it out through the advance notice process?
So when we're talking about options versus swaps versus forward contracts, stock surveillance analysts will see that activity. And I would say differentiating between the three of them might be difficult to understand exactly which type of derivative it is. However, the way that we look at it is the gaining of the economic interest to it. So in many of these instances, there's an opportunity, such as with an option, to actually hold those shares. And, you know, the way that we look at it as a surveillance provider is it's more about the economic interest. Did that answer the question you were?
Yeah, I mean, what I was just trying to get at is there a way, you know, based on the information you have available, given there's no, to your point, obvious public filings on this, how you can actually tell, you know, how much they're holding in terms of derivatives, you know, short of the advance notice process or 13Ds, but it sounds like there is some sense as to what kind of economic interest is potentially being held.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. There is, because based on the counterparty bank, we could infer whether it is straight equity purchases or if it's the counterparty acquiring shares on behalf of the derivative agreement.
You know, to kind of sum things up, David, just from our discussion today, it sounds like an iceberg might not be a bad analogy here. What you can see above the water, that's your 13F filing. Yeah. And the 90% of stuff that you can't see, that's where the stock surveillance folks come in, and the people like you who can provide insights to companies on what's going on below the public disclosure line.
Yeah, absolutely. It becomes very actionable, very helpful. For different constituents, from the C-suite to investor relations, treasury, general counsel, the information gets used in many different ways.
JT, any closing thoughts?
No, I'm just happy to have talked to David today and learned more about something that I think is not well understood by lawyers necessarily.
Yeah. Absolutely. David, thanks so much for your time. Appreciate you coming here today.
Yeah, it was a pleasure. Thanks for having me, and look forward to talking with everybody again soon.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.